Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. 10.5 years ago, I was one of the first racial nationalists to bring up Jewish power structure operative and mysterious billionaire out of nowhere, Jeffrey Epstein, his sex abuse of white girls, and his video recordings of powerful men taking advantage of his services. Several years after I talked about it, Alexander Acosta, a member of Trump's first cabinet and earlier the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida, when Epstein got a laughable slap on the wrist for his sex abuse of minors there, admitted that he was told by higher-ups to lay off Epstein, quote, because he was intelligence, close quote. Whether CIA or Mossad was not specified, but there's a lot of possible ways for those two to overlap, as we all know. Now, 6 years after his apparent death in U.S. federal custody, Epstein is back in the news again. He's back in the news because Donald Trump, who had promised to release the full Epstein files as one of his campaign promises, has just reneged on that promise. Trump even tried lamely to shut down questions on that topic at one of his press conferences this week. Trump's Department of Justice under Pam Bondi has now released statements saying that Epstein, quote-unquote, had no client list, and that there is no evidence his death was anything but a suicide. They even had the audacity to release a prison doorway surveillance video with a whole minute missing as quote-unquote proof that no one went into Epstein's cell. Is it a coincidence that Trump's backtracking on releasing the truth about the Epstein case came immediately after his much-publicized face-to-face meeting with Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel and Butcher of Gaza? I don't think so. In fact, I think that's indirect evidence that I and others were right when we said that Epstein was a creature of Mossad and the Jewish power structure. Just months ago, Trump was loudly declaring that he would release everything on his former friend Epstein. Now Trump says we need to stop talking about Epstein. Just weeks ago, Pam Bondi was saying that Epstein's client list was on her desk, about to be reviewed and then released. Now, Bondi says, it never existed. A few years ago, the U.S. Justice Department successfully prosecuted Ghislaine Maxwell, the Jewess who was Epstein's top assistant, and herself, the daughter of uber-Zionist Jew and intelligence asset Robert Maxwell, for sex trafficking a small army of young white girls for Epstein. Now, that same Justice Department says that she apparently trafficked them to no one, since Epstein had no clients. It was all just romps for Epstein's pleasure and amusement, and Pam Bondi says the cameras in every single one of Epstein's rooms and the tens of thousands of video recordings, likely more than any one person could view in a decade if he did little else, were also just quote-unquote child pornography that can never be released for Jeffrey's use alone. A lot of Trump supporters and former Trump supporters are not buying it. Even that figure who likes to straddle the line between mainstream conservatism and a tiny bit of truth-telling, Tucker Carlson, is not buying it. He's now said, in front of the very kosher Turning Point USA crowd, no less, many of the same things I was saying years ago. Epstein was sexually blackmailing powerful people on behalf of Israel, and everybody in Washington knows it. Former Trump ally Elon Musk says that Trump himself is on the list that does not exist. Over the course of two programs, I am going to continue to update you on the unraveling of this Jewish intelligence and control operation, and I will also play for you two of the pieces I did on Epstein more than 10 years ago, beginning with Jeffrey Epstein, The Uncovering, published in January 2015. Listen. Back in 1999, the maverick Jewish film director Stanley Kubrick, who once famously said that Adolf Hitler got almost everything right, produced his last film, Eyes Wide Shut. It's a chilling look into a secret society of elitists and wealthy men, many of them obvious Jews, using young white women as sex slaves on a massive scale, and corrupting or killing anyone who found out about it. Fast forward to today, and the Jeffrey Epstein case proves that the reality of the cynical sexual use of naive, trusting young white girls, many of them little more than children, by Jewish money men and the politicians they corrupt, goes far, far beyond anything shown us in Kubrick's film. A recent court filing tells us that Epstein bought, trafficked, and traded sexual favors from at least dozens of bought and paid for young females, all of them white girls as far as is known, and some of them as young as 12, and passed them around to his wealthy Jewish friends like uber-Zionist lawyer Alan Dershowitz and others. He also reportedly gave access to these sex slaves to corrupt white politicians, including former President Bill Clinton, Senator George Mitchell, and Britain's Prince Andrew. Need I add that the mansion where these trysts took place is well equipped with video cameras in every room. Jeffrey Epstein is a 61-year-old Jewish financier. Though he claims to come from a middle-class family, by his 20s he was a partner in the Wall Street firm Bear Stearns, advising the wealthy on tax strategies. A few years later, he had his own company and a reputed net worth of over $2 billion, and bragged that he only took on billionaires for clients. Other traders remarked how curious it was that Epstein was almost invisible on the street and that his actual trading activities were unknown and unwitnessed. His only known client was the owner of The Limited and Victoria's Secret and big GOP Mitt Romney donor Leslie Wexner, also a Jew. All his other clients were, according to Epstein himself, secret. Epstein lives in a 9-story, 51,000-square-foot former private school, what Vanity Fair calls New York's largest private residence. And if you've been to New York City, you know that's really saying something. And that's not all. He also lives part-time in what is said to be the largest private dwelling in New Mexico, an $18 million, 7,500-acre ranch. He also spends time at his $6.8 million house in Palm Beach, Florida, where he periodically, and wisely, as we shall see, makes $100,000 donations to the police department. And he has a fleet of aircraft, including a Gulfstream 4, a helicopter, and even his very own Boeing 727. He also owns his own private 70-acre island, Little St. James, in the U.S. Virgin Islands, where he and his powerful friends like to have their private fun. Epstein was amazingly open about what he was doing. According to witnesses, his mansions were decorated with nude photographs he'd taken of his young victims, and such photos were also routinely seen scattered across the desks in his offices.
Servants testified how they were required to set up multiple massage tables daily, complete with sex toys and lubricants, for the sexual massages that Epstein demanded from the teen girls procured for him. Even Donald Trump, one of Jeffrey's non-Jewish friends, joked about Epstein's predilections and how much fun it was to visit him. In 2005 and 2006, the Palm Beach Police Department received a complaint from the parents of a 14-year-old girl who had been repeatedly absent from home on the pretext that she was shopping. The complaint says that Jeffrey Epstein had been employing her and many other underage girls for sexual purposes. Investigators eventually elicited testimony from literally dozens of young girls that Epstein was requiring them to provide not only so-called massages, but actual sexual intercourse. "The more you do, the more you get paid," stated one of Epstein's procurers, according to the probable cause warrant filed against him in 2006. Epstein usually employed female procurers who would meet the victims at school or sports events or other venues, befriend them, and lure them to one of Epstein's estates with promises of money, learning the legitimate massage trade and enjoying the jet-set lifestyle. Once they were in the presence of Epstein, they were sternly told to remove their clothes, and the massages immediately became sexual and escalated from there, according to witnesses. One procurer brought a 23-year-old to Epstein, but he rejected her services, stating that she was quote-unquote too old. Most of the girls were stated to be between 13 and 16, with a few as old as 18. For his birthday one year, Epstein was provided with two 12-year-old French girls, flown across the Atlantic just for the occasion. Witnesses stated that another Jew, Epstein's former girlfriend and daughter of UK Jewish media mogul Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, was Jeffrey's chief procurer and constant companion. According to testimony, Maxwell even stripped and instructed the watching teens on how to properly perform sex acts on Epstein. The honest police officers in Palm Beach who investigated this case were aghast at the result of their months-long investigation. The case against Epstein was absolutely airtight. Witnesses abounded, young witnesses with no financial motivation whatsoever to charge Jeffrey Epstein with hundreds of counts of child rape, child molestation, unlawful sexual intercourse, corruption of minors, and much, much more. The potential sentences for the crimes involved would have been staggering, involving centuries upon centuries. But the state of Florida, higher ups in the police department, remember those $100,000 donations, and the U.S. Justice Department stepped in and sabotaged the case against Epstein. Why? Former special prosecutor Ken Starr, a white man married to a Jew and one of Epstein's private attorneys, is one reason. Ultra-Zionist lawyer and author Alan Dershowitz is another. Both were part of Epstein's huge legal dream team, who descended on Palm Beach like the Wicked Witch's monkeys descended on Oz. According to published records, this team hired private investigators to look into the personal lives of detectives and prosecutors and other local officials and began, quote-unquote, jerking them around and threatening them with unpleasant consequences if they continued to pursue charges against Epstein. Dershowitz, one of Israel's biggest defenders in the media, as it happens, is one of Epstein's closest friends, and according to new testimony, was present during sex orgies on Epstein's private island and jets. At least one white teen girl, Virginia Roberts, was forced by Epstein to have sex with the troll-like, reptilian-looking Dershowitz on numerous occasions. Dershowitz was no doubt highly motivated to stop this case in its tracks. In 2006, the same U.S. Justice Department that falsely prosecuted David Duke, Chester Doles, Matt Hale, myself, and many other white advocates at around the same time also stepped in on the Jeffrey Epstein case. But they did not step in to prosecute this Jewish abuser and raper of teenage white girls. No, they stepped in to stop his prosecution. Secret proceedings. I thought secret legal proceedings were supposed to be against the law in the United States. Secret proceedings took place, which are still under seal. The end result was called, believe it or not, a non-prosecution agreement, under which Epstein's associates, procurers, and powerful Wall Street, Buckingham Palace, and Washington, D.C. friends were not to be charged at all, and all charges against Epstein would be dropped except one local charge of soliciting one minor for prostitution. Under the agreement, Epstein would be sentenced to 18 months and would serve 13, but not in an ordinary hellhole jail or prison, but a special VIP suite set up for him and at which many of his procurers and young female associates visited him daily. And he would be required to be in this so-called jail cell essentially only while he was sleeping, from 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. At all other times, he was perfectly free to live at his estate, as he always had, and his whereabouts and activities were not monitored. When Epstein's papers, trash, journals, and other records were investigated, it was discovered that he had numerous guests and contacts among the rich and powerful. He had no fewer than 21 different contact numbers for Bill Clinton, who a witness saw offered the services of two twin teen brunettes, who he reportedly turned down, at one of the many romps at Epstein's estates that Clinton attended. Epstein had some 16 different ways to contact Britain's Prince Andrew, who remained a loyal Epstein associate even after his conviction, and who, according to affidavits filed recently, was repeatedly given the forced sexual services of a 17-year-old white girl, the same one that Epstein forced to have sex with fellow Jew Dershowitz. Britain's very powerful and very Jewish Lord Mandelson had no fewer than 10 entries in Epstein's contact book. Many other luminaries of the Anglo-American establishment were there too, along with Israeli leader Ehud Barak. One investigator was told by independent writer Robert Morrow that, considering Bill Clinton's, quote, deep history as a rapist and serial sexual predator, the odds of Bill not being pandered underage girls by Epstein would be like 1 in 1 million. And the counter reply was that it was more like 1 in 1 billion that Clinton was not being pandered underage girls. Close quote. Clinton took 17 trips with Epstein, 10 of them to what journalists are now calling Pedophile Island. Another close Epstein associate is another probable Jew, Jean-Luc Brunel, who has been accused of drugging and sexually abusing white teenage girls used by his modeling agency. Epstein paid Brunel $1 million for his modeling agency, which, according to published reports, quote, was really designed to funnel in underage girls for sex by Epstein. Close quote. In Michael Gross's 1995 book, Model, we read, quote, Jean-Luc is considered a danger. Owning Karen's, his modeling agency, was a dream for a playboy. His problem is that he knows exactly what girls in trouble are looking for. He's always been on the edge of the system. Jean-Luc likes drugs and silent rape. It excites him. Close quote. Former sex slave Virginia Roberts states that, just as with Dershowitz, she was, quote, forced to have sex with Brunel and was forced to watch Brunel having sexual acts with dozens of underage girls, close quote. One mother relates that Epstein and his procurers were especially on the lookout for vulnerable teen girls who could be easily manipulated. The girl, a teenage actress aged 13, who had recently lost her father, received notes asking her to meet with Epstein. And it's all a very Jewish thing. And it's not just me and other critics of the Jewish establishment who are saying that. Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, a major pro-Israel pundit in the controlled media, has rallied, as he puts it, all Jews to defend Epstein associate Alan Dershowitz, citing ethnic loyalty and loyalty to Israel as the main reason. Boteach wrote that Dershowitz is, quote, a man of sterling character who has been a champion of the Jewish people and Israel his entire life. We are all mindful of women who are victims of sexual crimes, and they must, of course, be protected. But the reputations of individuals who have devoted their lives to the greater good deserve consideration as well. Close quote. Dershowitz himself, always hyper-aggressive, has really popped a blood vessel now that his friend Epstein is back in the news. Enraged by the fact that the non-prosecution agreement he negotiated has been essentially nullified by a lawsuit filed by some of Epstein's former sex slaves, one of whom, Virginia Roberts, is the one who says she was forced to have sex with Dershowitz when she was 17. Dershowitz appeared on CNN in an obviously agitated mood, calling the woman a serial liar and serial prostitute, threatening to have her lawyers disbarred, and even raving about the teenager meeting the queen, a claim she never made. The visibly shaken Dershowitz even made a possibly revealing Freudian slip about halfway through the interview, saying his own affidavit would, quote, categorically deny the truth, close quote. Watch the interview and see for yourself. One of Epstein's sex slaves reportedly asked Epstein at one of his parties why Bill Clinton was there and was told, he owes me some favors. This is a key insight. Just as an uncensored look at Jewish Hollywood reveals the sexual abuse of whites, male and female, by Jews, as I discussed in my program, The Evil Funhouse, so also the Epstein case reveals how the Jewish-dominated West really operates at the highest level. Undreamed-of riches, stolen from hardworking Americans by corrupt politicians, Jewish bankers, and Jewish Wall Street tricksters, is used to buy the actual sexual slavery of young white women and girls, whose favors are then essentially sold for real political favors and special treatment by powerful Jews. When the favor trading negotiations don't go the way the Jews want, there's always the video recordings of the politician's or judge's last few visits to the East bedroom to hold over his head. This is the way American democracy really works. This is the real world. And these are just a tiny few of the things that Jeffrey Epstein has done. The few he's actually been caught doing. And Jeffrey Epstein is just a tiny part of the very sick, very corrupt Jewish-led system that currently rules the Western world. Uncovering Jeffrey Epstein is like uncovering one termite tunnel in one floorboard of a whole rotted city filled with termites and about to collapse in on itself. Let's never forget that. Let's not return to our lives as usual. Let's never rest until Jeffrey Epstein and his cronies and friends and fellow tribesmen are removed from power over us forever.